Trying to keep up with everything in these really complex fields, it feels like you're constantly running, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You're
Especially something like software development in the Department of Defense. It changes so fast.
It really does. And it's not just knowing the terms, the acronyms.
Right, like a new dictionary every month.
Yeah, it's understanding, what's really changing underneath it all. Why does it actually matter?
And that's precisely what we try to do here with the deep dive. We sort of wade through all that dense material, the docs, the research, to pull out the core stuff, the insights that actually give you a solid understanding. Think of it like your express lane to getting informed.
Skipping the swamp of details.
Exactly. And today, we're tackling a big one, the Delo-D Enterprise DevSecOps Fundamentals version 2.5, just approved last October, right?
That's the one. V2.5, October 16th, 2024. It's pretty current.
Okay, so for you listening, here's the mission, if you will. Get a clear handle on what DevSecOps actually means in the DoD context, what the key parts are, and really why it's such a big deal. We're going to try and cut through the
That's
jargon.
the core insights.
Let's do it. So, starting right at the beginning, what is DevSecOps fundamentally in this DoD view?
Well, at its heart, it's about bringing together software development, security, and operations, dev, sec, and ops.
Okay.
It's unifying them using, shared methods, practices that work together, common tools. The big shift is embedding security in the
Not
process.
just checking it at the end.
Exactly. It's not
Yeah.
an afterthought anymore. It's woven through right from the start. It's all about collaboration between those teams, dev, sec, ops working together,
Okay.
using automation as much as possible, and keeping an eye on things continuously, monitoring through the whole life cycle for quality and security.
Got it. Now, the document mentions this infinity loop for the DevSecOps life cycle. That sounds, well, different from the old ways.
It is. Think continuous cycle, not a straight line. There are 10 phases they list: plan, develop, build, test, release, deliver, deploy, operate, monitor, and feedback. All interconnected.
Like a figure eight constantly looping back.
Pretty much. And the key thing is it replaces that old waterfall method.
Where you finish one step completely before starting the next.
Right. Waterfall was rigid. This loop is iterative. It allows for much faster adjustments, more agility.
So you're not waiting ages for one massive software drop. It's smaller pieces more often.
Exactly. Each cycle, each loop gives you a new software release. Maybe it's new functionality, maybe enhancements, maybe critical security fixes. But it's incremental.
Which makes sense for reacting quickly to threats or changing needs.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the loop. The document also lists some key concepts, foundational ideas. Let's start with the software supply chain. What's the DoD's take on that?
They define it as basically all the steps involved in creating, changing, and checking software artifacts, making sure they're good quality, meet policy.
Artifacts being like the code, the libraries, the compiled bits.
Yeah, all of that. And critically, it involves different people, different actors who both use stuff and create new stuff along the way. Think
Yeah.
about it. Code gets written, compiled, tested, packaged. Lots of steps, lots of hands.
So it really is like a physical supply chain, but for software, each link matters.
That's the core idea. And they use this compiler example, which I think is really good. A compiler itself might not get deployed to the field.
Right, it builds the code.
Exactly. But if that compiler is compromised or has a vulnerability, everything it builds could be affected. It highlights why securing every part of this chain is so vital.
Makes sense.
And they point out this multiplicative effect, right? If you have, say, four stages and each one is only 90% secure, the overall security drops way down, like maybe only 65% secure overall. It really forces you to think about every single tool, every library, every step.
Wow, okay, so DevSecOps aims to strengthen every one of those links.
Got it. Next concept, software factory. Sounds very industrial. It is meant to be structured. In the DoD context, it's the combination of people, tools, and defined processes all working together to continuously deliver software value to specific users.
So it's the engine that builds the software.
Kind of, yeah. Automation is huge here, making things repeatable, efficient, high quality. It's related to the supply chain, but more focused on how the structured development and delivery process itself.
Okay, so if the supply chain is the, where the parts of the factory is the how the assembly line.
That's a pretty good way to put it. The document breaks a factory down into three main parts: infrastructure, the base layer, like hosting, digital platform, that's the tools, the CI/CD pipelines we'll talk about, and then the applications, the actual software being built.
And it says a factory can have multiple assembly lines.
Yeah.
Different pipelines.
Right. You might need different pipelines for different types of software, maybe different security levels. Not one size fits all.
And these pipelines have control gates, like quality checks.
Exactly. Think automated security scans, code reviews, things like that. Checkpoints to make sure things are on track, quality-wise and security-wise.
Okay. Building on that, DevSecOps platform. How's it different from a factory?
The platform is more foundational. It's a collection of shared resources, infrastructure, services, tools that provides a common base.
So multiple factories could run on one platform.
Precisely. It's a centralized hub designed to speed up development, delivery, and even getting that cybersecurity accreditation because it provides a standardized secure foundation. It enables the factories.
Platform enables factories. Factories build the software using the supply chain parts. Okay, that clicks. Then CI/CD pipelines. Mm-hmm. We hear this term all the time. What's the essential thing to grasp?
CI/CD stands for Continuous Integration and Continuous Delivery. The pipeline is the automated workflow and the tools that make that happen.
Taking code from a developer's machine all the way to, well, getting it ready for release.
Exactly. With as much automation as possible, minimizing manual steps, it's the pathway.
Faster, more reliable, more consistent.
Got it. And the last key concept here, Continuous Authorization to Operate, or CATO. This sounds like a big shift from traditional ATOs.
It really is. CATO is basically a state of maturity. It means the team developing, securing, and operating the system has proven they can maintain such a strong, resilient cybersecurity posture continuously that those traditional periodic security checks become less necessary, maybe even redundant.
Because security is being demonstrated constantly.
Exactly. It relies heavily on robust, continuous monitoring, always watching the system's health. Plus, active cyber defense, and having that secure software supply chain we talk about, it's dynamic, ongoing assurance, not just a snapshot in time.
Okay, a fundamental shift in thinking about authorization. So we've got the concepts down. How does the DoD actually see this being implemented? What are the practical building blocks?
Well, first they circle back to the software supply chain. It's not just a concept, it's a practical thing you have to manage.
Right, the actual hardware, tools, services, all of it. Infrastructure as a service, platform as a service, software as a service, the tools, the practices. They emphasize that even systems that seem isolated, like embedded systems, have complex supply chains you need to understand and secure.
Okay. And the software factory in practice.
Yeah.
Putting that structure into action.
Yeah, building out that structured, repeatable approach, setting up the infrastructure, the digital platform, which crucially includes those CI/CD pipelines and the environments with automated gates, and then the application development capabilities.
So the actual flow of code through different stages.
Right. The document describes code moving from development, then maybe into different testing environments, integration environments. Each stage has automated checks, unit tests, static analysis, security testing, assessed.
Catching bugs early.
Exactly. Then maybe more in-depth testing security scans further down the line. And you mentioned that important distinction earlier between released and deployed. That's key in implementation.
Yeah, released means it's technically ready. But deployed means it's actually live in production. They might happen at different times.
Correct. And the document reinforces that you'll likely need multiple factories tailored for different software types or security needs. It lists characteristics of a good factory, too.
Like standardization, automation?
Uh-huh. Standardization, automation, CI/CD, scalability, flexibility, security, and compliance built in, mentioning those dynamic pipelines and gates collaboration, and continuous improvement. And it nudges people to look at existing managed PaaS options.
Don't reinvent the wheel if you don't have to. Okay. Then the DevSecOps platform in practice, that shared foundation.
Right. Providing common tools, services, infrastructure, multi-tenant, so multiple teams can use it efficiently, and potentially reaching that CATO state we talked about.
Okay.
They mention reference design interconnects, ways to tailor the platform while keeping a standard core. And automation is huge here too, using infrastructure as code, IAC, configuration as code.
Right. Defining infrastructure and configuration in code.
Exactly. Makes it repeatable, version controlled, auditable. Plus, using hardened containers from places like Iron Bank pre-approved secure building blocks. And again, leveraging government platforms like Platform One's Big Bang is strongly encouraged.
Inherit security, speed things up. Makes sense. And the CI/CD pipelines in practice, this is where it all comes together, right? Where the supply chain gets automated.
Absolutely. The document really stresses their role in reducing risk through those small incremental changes. And again, one factory might have multiple pipelines.
Tailored pipelines.
Yeah. The key insight here is that the pipeline is the software supply chain in action. Every link, from code commit to deployment, they even point to NIST guidings on securing these pipelines.
And it helps dev and sec talk the same language.
It fosters that shared understanding, yeah. And crucial for implementation, monitoring every step, every link, using observability logs, metrics, traces to really understand performance, security, reliability, especially vital if you're aiming for Cato.
Need that constant visibility.
Okay.
And infrastructure as code gets its own callout as important for implementation, more than just automation.
Definitely. It provides security and value. Automating infrastructure setup reduces manual errors, ensures consistency, it helps feed data into security platforms automatically, and the potential time savings are huge, shrinking infrastructure deployment and authorization from like months to hours potentially.
Wow.
And they point to specific DoD-approved IAC templates that teams can use as a starting point. Generate pre-configured, pre-authorized PostGIS environments, inheriting security controls from the cloud providers.
Smart. Okay, lastly, for implementation, common tools. Does that mean everyone uses the exact same tool?
No, that's a key clarification they make. It means common classes or categories of tooling. There's a separate DevSecOps Fundamentals guidebook and approved reference designs that give specifics on required and preferred types of tools for different activities, but allows flexibility in the specific product choice.
So consistency and capability, not necessarily the specific brand name.
Exactly. Okay, so that covers the components. Now let's walk through the DevSecOps lifecycle process itself. Figure 7 in the doc kind of unfolds that infinity loop to show the flow better, right?
Yeah, it makes the feedback loops and those control gates clearer. Same 10 phases,
Yeah.
just shown more linearly to see the connections. And they really hit hard on iterations and fast feedback.
Absolutely critical. So starting with plan. This is your typical project management stuff: time, cost, quality, risk, issues.
Requirements, feasibility studies.
Right. Risk analysis, threat modeling, thinking about security early, and managing technical debt. They tie this into the adaptive acquisition framework, mentioning things like MVP, minimum viable product,
And MVCR.
minimum viable capability release, basically planning in iterative chunks.
Okay. Then you hit the continuous integration loop, develop, build, test, feeding back into each other constantly.
Yeah, this is core DevOps. Code gets committed, triggers an automatic build if the build breaks, immediate feedback to the developer, fix it now. Then you have pull requests for peer review, that two-person check. Looking at the code, security, architecture, docs.
Humanize on it.
Once it's merged, automated tests run unit tests, integration tests. They reference Martin Fowler's definition, frequent integration, automated testing. It's all about catching regressions, API breaks, quality issues super early.
Makes sense. Next loop, continuous delivery. Release, deliver, deploy. And the key thing was.
That release and deliver do not automatically mean deploy to production.
Right, that was the crucial distinction.
Continuous delivery means a feature is ready. Code's done, reviewed, tested, versioned, sitting in the artifact repository. It could be deployed, but maybe isn't yet. Maybe deployment is batched or needs a specific approval.
Got it. Ready, but not necessarily live, which leads to continuous deployment. This loop pulls almost everything together.
It does. Plan, develop, build, test, release, deliver, deploy, operate. This is where those ready features get pushed to production automatically. Though there's usually an extra control gate here.
Still potentially a manual check or business decision.
Exactly. Deployment is triggered by successful delivery. But based on the app's criticality, you might still have a human in the loop for the final go. They use that underwater vehicle example.
Ah, yeah, delivering the update to shore is easy. Deploying it underwater might need careful timing or manual steps.
Perfect illustration. And finally, monitor feedback. Closing the loop, bringing back data from the live environment.
Real-time performance, security alerts.
All of that, plus feedback from actual users, network defenders. It replaces that old static security snapshot with live feeds for security teams, CSSPs, CPTs, C2 elements. It's also about checking. Is the software actually effective? Meeting mission needs, detecting faults, auditing logs, assessing value.
Constant learning from the real world. Okay, so that's the process. But a software factory isn't an island, right? It has to connect with other DoD processes, like security.
Right, and the big theme here is shift left. Build security in from the start.
Weaving it through.
secure coding, security dates in the pipeline, continuous monitoring and production. It spans development, deployment, operations assessments, testing, documentation, detection, mitigation, remediation. Figure 11 shows it like a protective layer around the whole life cycle.
A big change from just doing security reviews at the very end.
Huge change. And that leads directly into zero trust. The document's pretty blunt here.
Yeah, it says DevSecOps factories and platforms must adopt zero trust as the target model.
No ambiguity there. Teams need to actively implement zero trust principles across all 10 phases, thinking about users and non-person entities, servers, services.
How do servers do zero trust?
Things like mutual TLS secure, authenticated connections between services using strong crypto like FIPS validated crypto, deny by default postures. The idea is DevSecOps, done right, naturally supports and implements zero trust.
Okay. And how does this mesh with the existing risk management framework? RMF, that's the big DoD cybersecurity process.
RMF is the established framework, yeah. Provides the structured process for managing risk categorization, vulnerability management, assessment, monitoring, authorizing officials, AOs, review the risk assessments to determine if the residual risk is acceptable.
Right.
For DevSecOps, AOs need to look at the whole picture, people, process, and technology. Traditional ATOs authorizations to operate have expiry dates.
They're time limited.
Right. But the goal with mature DevSecOps is that Cato state continuous authorization, where risk is managed continuously through ongoing assessment, monitoring, active defense.
Build on that continuous monitoring, active cyber defense, and secure software supply chain foundation.
Exactly. Which requires things like a defined secure software supply chain, SSSC, and a software bill of materials, SBM, knowing exactly what's in your software.
So RMF is the framework. Cato is the advanced continuous state you achieve within it using DevSecOps.
Got it. What about test and evaluation? Testing isn't just one phase either. No, definitely not. It happens all throughout the life cycle, aligns with standards like NIST SP 800-218, needs coordination with the formal test communities, OT&E, DT&E, JITC.
Okay. And there are different kinds.
Two main types mentioned. Functional testing, does it do what it's supposed to do? This is built into the CI/CD pipeline, validating components, making sure things work together in realistic scenarios. And then security testing.
Is there one standard security test suite?
No, they say there's no single approach. But using automated security checks as control gates within the pipeline is a best practice. Different pipelines will likely have different collections of security tests based on risk.
Tailored again. Okay. And finally, integration with acquisition. The notoriously long DoD process.
Yeah.
How does DevSecOps help?
Well, the document points out that using Agile and DevSecOps, combined with the newer DoD software acquisition pathway, the SWP from DoDI 5000.87, really streamlines things.
So the pathway and DevSecOps work hand in hand.
Very much so. They're aligned to deliver secure software faster and more efficiently than the traditional routes.
Okay, so we've covered the what and the how. Now, how do you make this stick? How do you institutionalize DevSecOps across the DoD? It feels like more than just tech.
Oh, much more. The document spends a good amount of time on DevSecOps culture and philosophy. This is critical.
Right. They mentioned DORA findings, DevOps research and assessment.
Yeah. DORA's research shows a strong link between a generative culture, high trust, cooperation learning, and much better performance, both organizationally and in software delivery, like 30% higher performance in teams with that kind of culture.
And it's a two-way street. Culture helps tech. Tech helps culture.
Exactly. They reinforce each other. DORA also found things like focusing on the user improves satisfaction. Distributing work fairly helps performance, though they caution against too much rigid process.
Interesting.
Also, even stable organizations need agility. Open information sharing is key. Flexible work helps. And fundamentally, a healthy culture supports employee well-being.
So what are the core tenets for this culture in the document?
There's a list. Making continuous small changes. Building security in from the start, valuing open source, engaging users early and often, focusing on the warfighter, automating manual tasks, failing fast and learning but not repeating failures, responsible failure or failing forward, treating APIs as first-class citizens, keeping documentation near the code, and seeing data as strategic. It's a mindset shift.
Definitely a different way of operating. And to make this happen everywhere, they talk about a whole of DO approach.
Yeah, this can't be piecemeal. It needs holistic change. People, process, technology, breaking down silos is essential for collaboration. They even say this is foundational for making progress in AI and ML.
So what does that whole of DOD approach look like?
Key things are strong leadership commitment, organizational patience recognizing it's complex, a real cultural shift to agility, workforce development training, clear career paths, management and governance that supports it, with buy-in from top and bottom and accountability pushed down, collaboration, partnerships inside and outside DOD, and continuous improvement using metrics and feedback.
It sounds like a massive undertaking, coordinating all that.
It is, but they argue it's essential to get those secure, resilient, innovative capabilities out at the speed of relevance. And speaking of measuring, that brings us to measuring success with performance metrics. You need to know if it's working.
Right. Objective measures of performance, progress, quality. Find bottlenecks, track productivity, see if changes are actually improving things, data-driven decisions, transparency.
And the data often comes from the tools themselves, using APIs to pull metrics together. They mentioned DORA and Google Metrics again.
The DORA 4, deployment frequency, lead time for changes,
change failure rate, and time to restore service, plus operational stuff like reliability, availability, and Google's 4 golden signals: latency, traffic, errors, saturation, useful for operators, developers, security folks.
Okay, and the DOD has its own metrics, the DOD-4.
Yeah, OUSDANS define these, expanding on DORA: delivery speed and cadence, stability and reliability, value ROI, and cyber resilience. There's more guidance available on those.
Beyond just speed and stability, looking at value and resilience too.
Right. Then they cover OKR's objectives and key results. Goal setting method. Platform One uses them. Examples given are like deploying edge instances automatically, cutting release cycles down, consolidating clusters, specific measurable goals.
And flow metrics.
Yeah. Measuring the movement of work. Things like cycle time, how long work takes. Throughput, how much gets done, and work in progress. WIP, how much is being worked on at once, helps spot delays, manage capacity.
So a whole toolkit of metrics to understand the flow. Of course, none of this works without the right people, the workforce section.
Crucial. You need skilled people. The document outlines a typical cross-functional team: product manager, devs, UX, UI, security engineer, test engineer, data scientist, DevSecOps SRE folks, architect.
The core build team.
Right. But it also acknowledges individuals might wear multiple hats, especially on smaller teams, and it lists all the other people who impact the team: the warfighter, mission owner, AO, PEO, PM, finance, contracting, HR, logistics, intel.
Takes a village, basically.
It really does. And to connect that village, they mention the DevSecOps community, specifically the DoD Enterprise DevSecOps Community of Practice, or DSOCOP.
What's that?
Started in 2019. Meets monthly. It's a forum for people across DoD, academia, industry to learn, share successes, share ideas, educate each other, raise issues, collaborate, helps break down those silos we talked about. They even give an email to join.
That sounds incredibly valuable for practitioners.
Okay,
wow. We've covered a huge amount of ground from this fundamentals document.
We really have. It's dense stuff, but hopefully broken down a bit.
Definitely. And the main takeaway seems to be that this isn't just a trend. It's a fundamental shift. And it's an ongoing journey for the DoD.
Absolutely. The document itself says it's continuous. This deep dive is really just a starting point. It's about that mindset of always learning, using feedback, using metrics.
And for anyone wanting to go deeper, the document points to more resources. At that link, the guidebook with activities and tools, the approved reference designs.
Lots more detail available for those who need it.
So, as software and security keep evolving so rapidly in the DoD, maybe the final thought for you listening is, how are you going to stay ahead of the curve? How can you contribute to getting those secure, vital capabilities to the warfighter faster and more reliably?
It's the critical question, isn't it? Constant evolution, constant learning.